This evening we're turning in the Word of the Lord to the book of Ruth. We're turning to the book of Ruth. You get to Joshua, Judges, and then you have the little book of Ruth. And we're turning this evening to the first chapter. That is Ruth and the chapter 1. I want to begin our reading this evening at the verse number 6, that is Ruth, chapter 1, and beginning our reading at the 6th verse. Then she arose, that is Naomi, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return unto the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Amen. We'll end our reading there, the 17th verse, with the earnest prayer once more that God will be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. We had tonight a tremendous prayer meeting before this service, when God's people laid hold upon the Lord And it was very evident the Lord was in that prayer meeting. And I believe the Lord is here in this tent as well. And once again, we've been praying for precious souls. And we've been praying that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, will come amongst us this evening. And I would like you once again, dear Christian, to pray for the Holy Spirit to move in this tent tonight in a way that He has not done before. I believe God has given me a word without a doubt for the service tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray for the workings of God and pray that the Holy Ghost will come tonight in power. Oh, our dear Lord and gracious Savior, we come unto Thee at this hour of preaching, this hour of gospel opportunity, this hour, Lord, in which men and women may have their eternal destiny decided. O eternal God, I pray this evening that Thou would in wrath remember mercy. For, Lord, we know that all who know not the Savior have never been to the cross, have never been washed in the blood. We know, Lord, according to Thine own word, that they are condemned already before a thrice holy God. And tonight, our Father, I pray that by the workings of Thy Holy Spirit, men and women and young people, Lord, this night will get out from their sin and will get under the blood. And, O Lord, those dear loved ones who have been prayed for, even prayed for tonight over there in the cabin, that tonight, Lord, those prayers will be answered. At long last, those prayers will be answered. And dear souls in the tent tonight, sons and daughters, will be gathered into Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for the souls that Thou hast saved. Even today, we praise the Lord. But, O God, there are still more to be gathered in, and time is short, and death is waiting, and eternity is sure. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Help me to preach the word with power. Help me to preach Christ. Help me to preach the blood. Help me, Lord, to reach out to souls tonight through the gospel. In the Savior's holy and precious name, I ask these things. Amen. I would like this evening, with the Lord's help, to consider two verses here in Ruth chapter 1. And we read in verse 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." After suffering such terrible losses in the land of Moab, Naomi made up her mind that she was going to return home. She was going to return to Bethlehem, Judah, her home place, where she had lived and then left along with her husband to live in Moab. Her Moabitess two daughters-in-law indicated that they wanted to go with her, that is, to leave Moab and return to Bethlehem. All three were bereft of their husbands in Moab. And for Naomi, and we have been reminded of this in the last couple of days, Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. She had to stand at the graves of her husband and two of her sons. And as far as Naomi was concerned, there was nothing left. There was nothing to keep her in Moab. Her friends and her family and her loved ones were in Bethlehem, Judah. And she decided that she was returning home, leaving behind the three graves of her husband and her two sons. Her two daughters-in-law decided they were going with her. All three of them set out for Bethlehem, but all three did not reach Bethlehem. For somewhere along the way, there came a parting off the ways. For Oprah, she had reached a crossroads on her way to Bethlehem, Judah. One way pointed to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. One way pointed to Bethlehem. The other way pointed back to Moab. Moab means the place of emptiness. That was her choice. There she stood. Would she go on to Bethlehem, the house of bread? Or would she return to Moab, the place of emptiness? As we would say here, really it was a no-brainer. Why would anybody want to go back to Moab, the place of emptiness, when before her was Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the house of plenty, place of emptiness, and the place of plenty? What direction would you have taken? What road would you have gone? What decision would you have made? Moab or Bethlehem? The place of emptiness, or the place, or the house of bread? Orpah had a decision to make: to go back or to start a new life in Bethlehem. That was her prospect. Start a new life, a new beginning in Bethlehem. Or just go back to the old life and the old ways. She had a decision to make. What decision would she make? What direction would she go? What destination would she eventually reach? Such good things had been said about Bethlehem, Judah. You would think the decision would have been easy for Orpah to make. Look at where we commenced our reading in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. So the daughters-in-law were going with her at that stage. that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Isn't that interesting? Bethlehem's called the house of bread, and lo and behold, the Lord visited his people in Bethlehem and gave them bread following a time of famine. Yet, as we know, people do not always make the decision that is obviously, that is obvious and is best and will benefit them most. People don't always do that. We have seen that in this mission in the past 2 weeks. For we have said before you, life and death, and we have exhorted you to choose life. Yet so few have chosen life. They have made the decision to choose death. And here is Orpah, the house of bread, the house of blessing, a new life in Bethlehem, Judah, or the place of emptiness, place of barrenness. There was nothing there in Moab for Orpah to go back to. You take Pilate, for example. We considered Pilate last week. He had a decision to make. Life or death, Christ or Barabbas, heaven or hell. What did he choose? Why, he chose hell. He chose Barabbas and rejected Christ. And many have done the same thing and made the same decision. It's hard to take in, isn't it? It is hard to believe that people make decisions like that. The obvious thing to do would have been for Pilate to choose Christ. But no. He turned his back on Jesus Christ and released Barabbas. And here's Orpah. She's given the chance of a new life in Bethlehem, and what does she do? She decides she's going back to Moab. Can you believe it? Can you believe that anyone would be so foolish to make a decision like that and to make that choice? Now, I'm going to put before you this evening a choice for you to make. I'm going to say to you this evening, you have an opportunity to begin a new life. You have an opportunity to receive new life in Christ Jesus. Christ is the bread of life. And when we think of Bethlehem, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to Bethlehem he came, the place of bread, and Jesus Christ is the bread of life. How appropriate. And so I said before you this evening, dear hearer in this tent, I'm going to set before you life, new life, everlasting life, eternal life. Or I'm going to set before you death, eternal death. What's it going to be? What do you think you should do? What do you think is the best thing to do? Life, isn't it? You'd want to choose life, wouldn't you? Why would you choose death and damnation? Why would you choose hell above heaven? Why would you choose eternal sorrow and suffering instead of eternal joy and happiness? So it was with Orpah. There she was at the crossroads. And my friend, I don't know, but this could be the crossroads in your life. Where you spend eternity could be determined here in this tent tonight. Your decision this evening before God could determine where you will be for all eternity. You choose Jesus Christ, you choose life, you'll be in heaven for all eternity. That's for sure. But you choose to reject Jesus Christ tonight, and it could be your last opportunity to make any kind of decision. So we want to look at Orpah and this decision that she made as she stood at the crossroads. Bethlehem, house of bread. Moab, the place of emptiness. First thing we notice is Orpah and her following Naomi. We find that when Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, that Orpah and Ruth decided to follow her. Verses 6 and 7, we've already read verse 6, verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And so there's Ruth, and there's Orpah, and they decide to go along with Naomi. Started out to go to Bethlehem. Naomi was going home, and Orpah and Ruth wanted to go with her. She was going home. Bethlehem was home to Naomi. Why did she want to go? Well, I believe, first of all, because of her relationship with Naomi. What was that relationship? Well, Naomi was her mother-in-law. Orpah had married Naomi's son. And it is very evident when you look and read the context that Orpah loved Naomi. They were a very close-knit family, Naomi and Orpah and Ruth. Well, they'd been through tragedy together. They'd wept together. They'd suffered loss together. They had mourned together. They had sorrowed together. And that would have tended to have brought them together. Naomi and Orpah were very close. She wanted to go with Naomi because she loved her. This was a loving relationship. And so if she was going home to Bethlehem, then Orpah wanted to go home with her. Home. Naomi was going home. And Orpah started out to go home with her. You know, there are many in this tent tonight, and one day they're going home. They're going home to the heavenly Bethlehem. They're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. Listen, we cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. We want you in Bethlehem with us. We want you in heaven with us. Why? Because we love you. Now you can say, preacher, you don't know a thing about me. You never met me before. That's true. But I know this, you have a soul. And I love your soul for Christ's sake. I don't want to see any soul, no matter who it is, perish and go down into the caverns of the damned. I would like to see every soul that comes to this tent mission, I would like to see that soul in heaven with me. I'm going home one day. Will you come with me? Will you join me and go to the heavenly Bethlehem? Naomi was going home. Orpah wanted to go home with her. Orpah loved Naomi. She wanted to be at home with her. And here in this tent tonight, I'm sure you have folk, perhaps beside you, certainly at home, in the dwelling house. And you love them. Why? Because they're your mother and father. And your mom and dad are going home. And they're going on that journey that will lead them to home and to heaven. And you love them. Will you go home with them? Will you go on that journey that will take you on to heaven with your mom and dad? Or will you say tonight, by going out of this tent without Jesus Christ, will you say, preacher, I love my mother and I love my father, but I don't love them enough to give up my sin? I don't love them enough to go with them all the way to heaven and to glory. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And yet, son or daughter tonight, or anyone else in this meeting who has relatives and they're in love with the Lord and they're going home to glory someday, it's pretty sad, isn't it? That you say you love your parents, you say you love your brother and sister who are saved. You'd like to go with them, but you're not prepared to go all that way to the new Bethlehem, to the heavenly Bethlehem. You've thought about it. Orpah thought about it. She started out to go. She thought about it. She thought it was a good idea, but she never made it. She never got there. Naomi and Ruth made it, but Orpah didn't. That's tragic, isn't it? And it would be tragic, my friend, if there were people who accepted the Lord in this mission and they went on to the heavenly Bethlehem, but there are those then who attended the mission who didn't. They came to the mission. Listen to the preaching of the word. Showed an interest in salvation. Showed an interest in getting right with God. Showed an interest, a desire to go on to heaven. But never got there. Never got right with God. thought about it. You thought about getting saved. You thought about having your sin dealt with. You thought about receiving this new life. It's found in Jesus Christ. But up until this moment, you preferred the old life of Moab, the place of emptiness. Orpah wanted to go with Naomi because she loved her, because of that relationship. And surely, my friend, tonight, that Christian loved one that's in your home, whether it's a mother or a father or granny or granda, you would do anything for them, wouldn't you? If they lifted the telephone and called you and said, "Son, could you help me out?" You'd be over at the door as soon as you could. You'd do anything for them. Well, let me put to you this. There is one thing above everything else that they want you to do for them. Give your heart to Christ. You've only to attend the prayer meetings over in the little cabin there to know what I'm talking about. To hear fathers and mothers pray for their children, maybe praying for you here tonight in this tent. And they would give anything and do anything to have you join them and go on to glory. And you would do anything for your mom and dad, but will you go that far? You know, that'd be a wonderful way of showing your love tonight. And saying, "I don't want to be separated from my mother and father for all eternity. I love them. I would do anything for them. And so tonight, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus Christ." I know that's what they would want. I know that's what they've been praying for. I know that's why they've been crying. I know that's why they've invited me to missions and to church services. I know it, because they want to see me saved. Well, then, what about it? What about getting saved tonight? Getting saved tonight. I tell you this, there wouldn't only be joy in your home tonight. There will be joy in the presence of the angels over another sinner who's come home. Last year, about this time, we just were finishing off a mission in our church in Lurgan. It was the last meeting, last night of the mission. Three souls came to the Lord that night. One young man was there and stayed behind. His parents are Christians in our Ballymena church. And the young man came to the Lord that night. And then he had to travel all the way back to Ballymena. He phoned his parents to give them the good news. I then received a call to ask me to call his parents just to talk about what had happened. It was late on before I called. It was near midnight. And the parents were waiting for their son to come home. And they said, "This is a great night. This is great news. The son we have prayed for years, we have heard that tonight he's got saved. And his mother and I are sitting here waiting for him to come home. Can you imagine what kind of a homecoming that was? Can you imagine the joy and the happiness that was in the house that night? I wasn't there, but can I just imagine what took place? He was no sooner through the door than Mum and Dad threw their arms around him. Not only welcomed him home to the house, but really was welcoming him home to Jesus Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to know that that took place in homes this evening. Like Naomi and Ruth, Orpah had just lost her husband. It would then have been very difficult for Orpah, a widow, to live in Moab since the breadwinner had died. It's very difficult for widows in Bible times. A much better life awaited her in Bethlehem. For there the Lord, we're told, had visited his people with bread. She could go to Bethlehem with Naomi and with Ruth, and the Lord would be her breadwinner. The Lord would be a husband unto her. The Lord would be her helper. The Lord would be to her happiness. Oh, why would Orpah then go back to Moab? Why would she want to go back? You know, if it were possible to stand at the side of the road and see the three women coming, and they're making their way towards Bethlehem, and suddenly they stop on the roadway. And Orpah has second thoughts. You just feel as if you, if only you could stand at the side of the road and say, Orpah, whatever you do, don't go back to Moab. Whatever you do, Orpah, go on with Naomi and with Ruth. Go on to the house of bread. The Lord will look after you there. You have a far better life there. It'll be a life of blessing, and it'll be a life of bread. You can start a new life there in Bethlehem. Likewise this evening, there are souls here in this tent, and you're at that crossroads. You're on that road, and you're halting, and you're standing there tonight or sitting there tonight, and you're saying, what should I do? Should I go on to Bethlehem, or should I go back to Moab? Should I go on tonight and receive new life in Jesus Christ? Should I receive life eternal in Christ Jesus? Or should I go back to Moab? Well, I'm standing tonight, not at that roadside, but here in this pulpit, in this tent, and I would say to you, whatever you do, don't go back to Moab. I would plead with you this evening, go on to Bethlehem. Go on to Bethlehem. The Lord will look after you. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will supply your need. The Lord will watch over you. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will love you. The Lord will be your friend forever. So why would you go back to the place of emptiness? That's what this world is. It's an empty place. And you know it. You know there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. Oh, it's all right there on a Saturday night or Friday night. You stand in the bar and you have a drink with the boys. You had a laugh. You make your way home, and the next morning it's all over. You start all over again. The next week, it's the same thing, and the week after, it's the same thing, and the week after, and so it goes on, so monotonous and empty. Why would you go back to that? Why would you go back to living a life like that? Why not go on to Bethlehem? Why not tonight receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I'll tell you something, in the words of the hymn writer, now none but Christ can satisfy. The world doesn't satisfy, and you know it. But none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, and there's life, and there's everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. You have life and joy and happiness and peace every day of the week. You don't need to go to a bar to find it. You'll find it at the fountain of living waters. You'll find it at that fountain that never runs dry. Jesus Christ is the fountain of living. When you're tired and weary and discouraged and disappointment, what do? You go to the wells of salvation. You go to that fountain of living waters and you look to Christ and immediately you're refreshed. Praise the Lord. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the Christian life. Oh, I didn't always think that. I used to think, well, now if I become a Christian, if I get saved, that life will really not be worth living. Can't go to the dances. Can't listen to rock and roll music. Can't go here and can't go there. I felt, well, I'll just sort of die out in the face. Nothing to look forward to. I was never more wrong. Never more wrong. Sure, I tell you, my friend, the moment I got saved, that's when I started to live. That's when life began. For 24 or 25 years, I'd been living in Moab, a place of emptiness. But then that glorious night, the Lord saved me. And life began. I tell you, it's great. You want to get saved tonight and enjoy what we're enjoying. You want to get saved tonight and know the happiness that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is not what people are looking for today. They're looking for happiness. That's what their search is. Anything, if they can find anything that will give them happiness. Well, now, let me tell you something. I was speaking with one of our ministers last week. Glad to meet up with many of our ministers on our trip home. Speaking to one of our ministers. He said there's a man who attends his church. He's a backslider. He's been tending the church for over a year. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, he came to church in an old banger of a van. And then he was missing for 2 weeks. And then last Lord's Day, or the Lord's Day before, he arrived at church in a brand new BMW. And the minister wanted to know, where did you get that? Oh, he says, I won the lottery. How much did you win? I won over $1 million. But he said to the minister, do you know something? I'm not happy. I'm not happy. He had won a million, and he wasn't happy. Emptiness. Moab. You know, Christians can, like Paul, as we mentioned last night, can go through life with hardly a coat to keep them warm, with hardly a cloak to throw over their shoulders. And they can be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Why? Because the Lord is their happiness. Christ is their joy. Now that's something you can't explain, and it's something maybe you don't understand, but I can tell you tonight, it's true. There again, if we use Paul as an example, he lay in the prison there at Philip at Rome. And they had to ask for a cloak and some books and a parchment. He didn't even have a piece of paper to write on. He didn't have a coat to keep him warm. But Paul was rejoicing in the Lord. Paul had happiness and joy because he had Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord was his strength. And what does that mean? It means that the Lord's joy he gave to Paul. And so as Jesus Christ is full of joy, perfect joy, so he gave it to Paul, and so he gives it to every Christian. That's right. And there you are, dabbling in Moab, the place of emptiness. Hoping that a bottle of beer or half a whiskey will satisfy and bring a bit of joy to your heart and a smile to your face. But what about the next morning? Oh, it's Christ you need. I tell you, my friend, it's Jesus Christ you need. And you'll know what living is all about. And you notice here with Orpah, she was ready to go out along with Naomi. She was ready. That's how she started, but she didn't finish. Many have started out for heaven, but never completed the journey. Many have said, I would love to be a Christian, but they're still in their sin. Many have said they would like to know forgiveness and peace and this joy and happiness that Christians talk about, but they're still in Moab. Many have promised themselves that they would come to Christ. Many have promised their father or mother they would come to Christ. Many have promised that old grandmother, yes, Granny, I will get saved someday. Have you fulfilled that promise? Are you saved tonight? Have you received the Lord as your Savior? You started out, you thought about it, you thought about getting saved, but you haven't completed the journey, have you? Why not? Would you not think it would be better to go on, as it were, to Bethlehem, the place of bread, instead of going to the place of emptiness? Why would you want that? Why would you want the boozer's life and sore head, headaches and vomiting and sickness and bloated face and bloodshot eyes and wounds without a cause? Coming home, staggering in the house, roaring with your wife, fighting with your children, having your children cow in the corner because daddy has come home and he's stone drunk. Is that the life you want? Is that the life you're going to continue to live? And as you stagger through life, Are you going to lead your own children down that same road? Like the man that went out one winter's evening down to the local bar or tavern to buy some drink. It had been snowing. And he walked out of the house and he made his way down the street. And he was almost at the bar and he stopped and he looked back. He saw his footprints in the snow and he followed his footprints away back and he saw his young son walking behind him. The young son was walking in his father's footprints in the snow. And that challenged him. Am I going to lead my children into this way of life? I'm a drunkard and I'm a boozer. Am I going to teach my children the same filthy habits that I have? Is that the life you want? Surely it's not. Surely there's something better for you. There is. Something much better. And you'll find it in Jesus Christ, and Christ is here tonight. And so they came to those crossroads. I'm almost through. And there came the test. The test for Orpah. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back." She failed the test. Made the wrong decision. She went back. It's hard to take in, isn't it? And look what happened. We're told, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They wept because Orpah went back and Orpah left them and departed from them. They went on to Bethlehem to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and Orpah went back. She went back to the place of emptiness. Oh, my dear friend tonight, don't you do what Orpah did. Whatever you do, don't go back. You have the offer of a new life, a new start, new ways. You have the offer of happiness and joy and gladness and heaven and home. Why would you go back to the life you've been living up until tonight? And to continue to break the hearts of those who love you. And all the tears that have been shed. And the tears that will be shed. I'll tell you this. If you're the son or the daughter of a godly mother and father, or whatever the relationship is in the home, but you have loved ones who are saved, let me tell you this. If you die as you are, they will weep rivers of tears. Rivers of tears. Because Naomi never saw Orpah again. And they wept. And they wept. They never saw Orpah again. She had shown so much promise. She was almost, as it were, almost persuaded. Almost. She started out, she was on the road, and then she turned back. Naomi and Ruth went on without her. Listen. We don't want to go on without you. The mum and dad who love you don't want to go on without you. That saved husband of yours or saved wife of yours doesn't want to go on without you. Will you not come tonight? Will you not come tonight and make the heavenly Bethlehem your home? Yes, we are going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk those golden streets of heaven, and we'll bask in God's own light. But again we say, some of you are out of Christ, held by many a snare. God knows. We don't want to leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day and thee I'll call. Will you come tonight to the Savior? Will you come tonight with us as we go on the way to Bethlehem, Judah? Will you join us as we go on to the house of bread and see the one who's the bread of life? Don't go back to Moab. Go back to Moab and we may never see you again in this life or the life to come. You have a husband saved and you're not. You have a mum and dad who are saved but you're not. Do you not think it's time you were saved? Join that loved one of yours as you press on to glory. God has spoken to your heart tonight. Now will you give your heart to the Lord? As in past nights, we make a very simple appeal, making it clear that the appeal doesn't save anyone. But we leave it open for any man, woman, or young person tonight to indicate you'd like to be saved, you'd like to go on to glory with that loved one of yours, whether it's a mother or a father, or a husband or a wife, or a brother or sister, or maybe it's an old granny who's already at home. Will you indicate to us tonight that you'd like to join them? Tonight you'd like to receive the Lord as your Savior. You'd like to make your way to the heavenly Bethlehem. Would you do something for me? As our heads are bowed, and be over in a few minutes, we'll soon be out. Is there a man, a woman, a young person tonight you'd like to be saved? You'd like to receive Christ, the bread of life? You'd like to know new life in Him? You'd like to have a new start in your life? Would you do something? Where you sit, would you simply raise your hand? Would you simply raise your hand? When I say it, I'll acknowledge and then you take it down. And we'll see you after the meeting and when everybody is gone. And I'll show you tonight how you can be saved. Now come on. Dear unsaved wife, let's see your hand now. Slip it up. unsaved son or daughter tonight, your mom and dad are praying for you and they're waiting for you to come to the Savior. What about tonight? Let's see your hand now. Come on. Don't leave it tonight again. Come this hour to the Savior. We're waiting. And God's people are praying. Will you join us and be with us in the heavenly Bethlehem? Anywhere in the meeting. Let's see your hand. Just slip it up now. We'll acknowledge it and then take it down. That's right. Anywhere tonight. We didn't see your hand, but maybe you raised it and I didn't see it. I'll be at the door. Just say, preacher, could I have a word with you? That's all you need to say. We'll slip over to the little inquiry room. Spend time there around the word. But listen, don't go away tonight without the Lord.